Saturday afternoon to y'all. Thank you for joining us for yet another 40. I'm not even going to go into this. We'll just say an hour. We'll round. Hour
it's
of our show.
Only 55 minutes now.
Well, whatever. I'm rounding. I just said that. But I hope y'all have a great day. It's been a great week.
Hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend.
Hope y'all were safe and didn't do anything stupid. It's much appreciated.
Trying to think if I did anything stupid last weekend.
I don't know. I probably did something stupid. No, I don't think I did something stupid.
I don't know. You could have slowed down a little bit Tuesday. Yeah, you could have slowed down a little bit.
I was ready to get to my spot. We were running a little late.
Yeah, well, could have slowed down a little bit.
Talking about slowing down.
Yes.
I was on Lake Kiwi on Sunday with some friends, and it was before a party, and we were out there, and woo! I have never, ever seen so many boats try to fit into a narrow spot in a lake before.
Kiwi's kind of thin some places.
Oh, word.
Yep. Found that out when we went up there fishing the other day.
What about your butt hurting and your back hurting from hitting the seat?
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, and just a friendly reminder, when you see a no-wake buoy, an official no-wake buoy. Now, okay, standard is 50 feet out, you're responsible for your wake.
Right.
Okay. And the
recommended
and the wake,
75, right?
Yeah, or the wake bill that was in the Saginaw legislature has kind of been put on hold. We didn't request SCBFA, when I say we, Saginaw Boating and Fishing Alliance, did not want that bill. That bill was in response to essentially wake boaters. I mean, that was the big driving thing behind it. We just tried to make it palatable for everyone involved. That's why we kind of got involved. But it's. I think we're going to revisit that. That one's been tabled for the year. We're going to revisit that one in the next session. And there's a lot of other legislative things that we're going to get into. I believe this coming week with Geddes is going to be on with us, and we're going to talk about a lot of the SCBFA goings ons and.
There's and a lot that's been happening.
And we have a big press conference this coming week at Pure Fishing with Governor McMaster.
Governor McMaster.
And about some things. So yeah, it's pretty exciting stuff. And but yeah, I hope you had a great Memorial Day. But when you see a no-wake buoy, an official no-wake buoy, like when you're crossing under a bridge or whatever like that, it doesn't mean plow. It doesn't mean come off plane and plow. It means come off plane, let the boat settle, and idle through with no wake.
Some no-wake, not necessarily no-wake buoys, but when you get to a bridge, some bridges have no-wake signs, and they will say idle speed.
Yeah.
That is not plowing. That is idle speed.
and most of that's to be considered to people who may or may not be tied up to a bridge fishing. Mm-hmm. You know? I guess it's not so much the fishermen. You know, we pretty much see other guys and go, oh, okay, you know, I don't want him blowing by me, so I'm not going to blow by him. But, you know, just I guess the old adage of doing to others as you would have them doing to you comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just be nice to people. Be
also,
nice to you back.
Beware of random bridges you'll come to with no wake buoys out in front of it. Look on the pilings and you'll see a sign. Because I encountered that this week. Too,
you're learning a lot.
That was kind of interesting. I was like, what in the... Is there a bridge? I don't see no wake buoy, but
up
there's
on
a bridge.
There's the signs. It was a fun weekend. I hope you remembered why we have Memorial Day weekend. It's not
a long
to celebrate.
Weekend.
That's right. It's not a long weekend. It is it's a weekend to remember and memorialize those who gave their lives for this country. Mm-hmm. And the bumper music last week was cool. Angel Flight is a cool song, and I hope you go back. If you didn't, find Angel Flight on YouTube. It's a little over 4 minutes, just the song, and then there's like a 7 minute something.
I went and looked it up.
Yep, pretty cool. This is the week before the Bassmaster Classic.
Yeah.
Kicks off officially, practice tomorrow? I guess we need to ask Brandon knows that when practice kicks off. The goings on out in Fort Worth. Get going next Wednesday night.
Which means anybody you talk to that is involved with Bassmaster and involved with media is running crazy.
That's
right
now. Trying to get ready to go. Everybody is.
Including us.
Including us, yeah. We head out Tuesday morning. be there Thursday for media day, which is always fun. They take all it's being media has its perks. This is one of the things that just makes doing this show and the media credentials and all that just worth it all is we have a big dinner every year at the Classic, and it's good food, and it's a lot of the guys that you see only once a year. A lot of the media guys you may only see once or twice a year. They're all there.
And I'm missing it.
And you're missing it. All the anglers are there. It's you hear from the host city. Mm-hmm. Usually a couple speakers from the host city and all, and welcoming in. And you eat lunch, and it's just catching up with everybody. And then you have interviews with all the anglers. Sometimes it's indoors. Sometimes it's outdoors in their boats. Mm-hmm. It was that way here in Greenland, 18. Mm-hmm. We did it out in the parking lot at the Expo Center. So it'll be interesting to see when it comes back next year how they're going to set that up.
And I'm kind of having my own special thing. I'm going to see a friend.
You are.
Since December.
That's right.
So I'm going
to
go
to Great Magnolia, Texas.
I'm going to see her, and then I'll jump right back in head first.
Saturday.
Friday, yeah. if I can, if we can pack enough social time with her into 2 days, I might be back Friday. Yeah. Who knows?
But so. My wife is almost from Texas, so. It's going to be a real fun trip for her. She's going to go back and see some people that she hadn't seen since high school, and we'll have a good family trip.
And hopefully be enjoyable. Out on the water Saturday and Sunday.
Yep, Saturday and Sunday, and a lot of expo time. Not going to be doing a live show this year from out there. Have done live shows from Classics, I guess, 15, 16. Did not go to Tulsa. Mm-mm. So 18, 19, and 20. Not doing one this year, so gonna just enjoy being out there. It is a lot of work doing it from out there. The equipment you got to carry with you.
Trying to find guests.
Yeah, you got to line up guests that are available that don't have sponsor commitments, and then you got to find a place with all the necessary cordage. Mm-hmm. And usually it's a rush on Saturday. I mean, so this year we're just gonna enjoy it. We are gonna be doing. Ding, 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 some social media stuff, some lives and all during Classic weekend. So
if you don't follow us on social media.
You need to.
Woods and Water, South Carolina for you on Facebook and Instagram.
Yep.
And Taylor M. Outdoors for me on Facebook and Instagram.
Yep,
so we'll
that's
be doing some lives here and there from media rooms or if we're sitting down with somebody.
And you never know who you're liable to tune in and see. So just look for that notification. Of us going live or check the Facebook page for some videos or whatever. So it'll be good.
It's gonna be fun. I'm excited.
Hopefully this year I get to ride with Brandon Cobb on Friday, Marshall with him.
Then we'll see if you're actually a good luck charm or not.
Yeah. Well, everybody I've ever been with has caught fish.
Yeah.
Including in 15 or, 15 it was really cold, right? Wasn't that the Cliff Fish Classic?
Yeah, 14.
Yeah, see, Skeet caught 20-something pounds when I was with him that day. So if – I'm bad luck it hadn't showed up yet, but it could at any moment. So stay tuned. You can catch everything on Bass Live.
Yep.
I don't know what the Fox – I wonder what the Fox schedule is going to be with Bass Live.
That's a good question.
Yeah, we might have to look that up and get that to you in the last segment
and
when you can tune in. But they are on Fox Sports, I believe, for the Classic.
And then the next two segments, we're going to get some special behind-the-scenes look and pre-look at the Classic from Two Anglers.
Yeah.
So that's coming up, so y'all better stay tuned.
One Brandon Cobb and Patrick Walters. Except Patrick's first and Brandon's second.
That's true.
So y'all hang on. We'll be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina after the break.
Hi, I'm Dan Patrick. The Brad Paisley Bass Invitational set to get underway in Nashville. And when it comes to the host himself, you can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him.
We'll provide updates throughout the day here at SportsCenter. Paisley, Parker,
and Dan. Well, I love him. And welcome back to Woods and Water South. You don't like that?
I was trying to figure out what you were playing. Okay. Well,
it is the week of the classic, and as we said last segment, this is classic preview show, and so I thought, you know, that's appropriate.
It was.
Move that to the Bassmaster Classic to Fort Worth, Texas, instead of the Brad Paisley Invitational in Nashville. Uh-huh. And we got it. And speaking of what we got, we got somebody, you know, kind of a good friend of the show and somebody that always adds to it and is fun to talk to. And we've talked to like 30 minutes before we came on the air. So, Patrick Walters, welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Appreciate you taking time as always.
Guys, I'm happy to be here. Roger and Taylor. I like the intro, Roger. I thought it was pretty good.
Thank you.
I was like, who am I on the phone with? Is this Woods and Water? Man, this sounds pretty good.
Well, I went back and redid a whole bunch of bumper music. So,
and didn't add any of my songs that I tried to.
It takes, wait, let me remember this. It takes 340 different segments of music to produce this radio show every year.
Uh-huh.
So I've gone through done about 170 something, and I told you if you get with me, we can get some of your music
and
in here.
I tried, and you said,
"I don't want to do it right now." Yeah, we'll do it. I promise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did it together, and he was like, "Okay, we'll make them." And then like right when you left, he was like, "Delete." He's like, "No, yeah. Not feeling it."
Not feeling it. Well, you got to catch me in the right mood for country music.
Right.
But man, yeah, it is. You are on the road to the classic, catching up with you as you drive in, and I'm sure you had a lot of time to think about this. Second classic, so you know, kind of got used to what's going on. But man, are you still a little nervous, or are you just excited about being there?
I'm just excited about being here. We kind of got the bugs a little bit worked out on that from that first one. Mainly because you don't know how to plan for it because it's 3 days of practice, which are a whole week in advance to when the tournament starts.
Right.
So learning to not be in a rush is the biggest thing because I don't have the best per se, but if you learn just to, hey, enjoy the week, take it all in, just go fishing and see what happens. That's kind of the take we're going. We're going to go fish with our confidence baits, go have fun. And go see if we can lean on some fish and not get too carried away. It's fishing. If you're not having fun, you're not going to be doing good.
Can't fish mad, Taylor.
All right, we're not going to get into that.
That's fact, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Don't encourage him, please. Speaking of fun, second classic, based off your first classic, what would be your favorite part of classic week?
That's a good question. I would... Just kind of the amount of energy behind it, I would say, is one of my favorite things because I feel like it's the most watched tournament in the sport of bass fishing. Amen. And to know that it's all eyes are on 54 anglers. And to know that you're one of the 54, it's like, hey, you better go catch them. And there is a prize for second place, but nobody remembers second place. So we're going Ricky Bobby on them on this.
We're Ricky Bobby on them. You're right. You know, it's like Brandon said. You know, it's not. This is a one-off tournament. This is not going to ruin your year if you do bad. It's not going to make your year if you do good. But man, to be there and just to be able to fish free, which is essentially what you're saying. You're going to pick up your confidence bait. And you're going to go fishing. Speaking of which,
absolutely.
In practice, I mean, do you already have something you think is going to work and you're going to go try it in practice?
I do. I have some ideas. You know, I really wanted to catch them offshore was my plan. You know, in June in Texas, that's just a seasonal progression where those fish would be at. But it's rained 19 days, the last 19 days here in Texas. The lake is over 3 feet high. Everywhere we've been to, the lakes have been delayed. They've been month behind, a couple weeks behind. So I think I'm going to throw everything out of the window. And just go fishing again because the lake's 3 feet high. I think they're going to be up in the dirt. They're going to be in the bushes. I think we're going to catch them flipping. I think it's going to be a lot shallower bite than what I anticipated a couple weeks ago. But, hey, I like catching them shallow, and I just like catching them however they're willing to bite. So we'll see.
He might have just answered your question, Taylor, but you can go and ask him anyway.
What stage do you think Ray Roberts is going to be in this week?
If it's running late.
Uh, They're I think they're post spawn. I think majority of them, I'm going to say 90%, at least 90, maybe 95% have finished spawning. There might be a couple still that might try to pull up there some singles. But I think they're post spawn. They wanted to work their way out, but I think they're being held up with this, the high water. And so I think they're going to be around brim beds. I think there's going to be a good shallow shad spawn. But I think it's just going to kind of be a lingering phase where they want to head out deep to get in those summer patterns, but they're not there yet. So I think it's really going to be a shallow post-spawn kind of bite.
Have you ever been on Red Rocks before?
Never been here. Never.
This ought to be interesting.
I'm excited about it. I like seeing new places.
Well, I was just going to say,
keep it interesting.
I've known you long enough, and I've talked to you enough times to know that you like places that are new, because you go in with no preconceived notions as to your past history there.
Absolutely. And because, see, as of when they rescheduled the tournament, everything in my mind would have been, okay, offshore, post-spawn. All I would have done was come out here and out of graft for a week, you know, looking for offshore structure, looking for where they were going. And that's basically completely thrown out the window already. So I would have wasted all that practice just to, when you come out here now and the lake's 3 feet high, they're probably going to be slammed in the dirt. And it's hard to plan for that because nobody can predict that we would have had this much rain.
Yeah.
So that's why I would have hated to found fish a couple months ago and been like, okay, this is what I got to do. I'm going to catch them doing that. Well, right. Now it's like, hey, I don't know where they're at. I'm just going to find them wherever they're at in that current stage.
Right.
All the family going to be out there?
Majority of them.
Okay.
Emily's coming. She's flying out on Monday. Mom and Dad are flying out on Wednesday. I think my sister and her husband are coming at some point. So we'll definitely have a good crew. My grandma's not going to make it this time, but we got a pretty big crew. Hopefully.
All right. So that's the classic preview from Patrick Walters. Got that? Everybody, listen up. Got that? Let's talk about something else here. Let's talk about two Texas tournaments where you've gone over the century mark, Patrick.
And tell you the truth, it's pretty spectacular. It's hard to realize that. It's like, thinking back, it's like, you're like, there's no way I'll ever be able to catch 100 pounds. Like, that's 25 pounds a day. Like, there's no way that's achievable. And it just, when it happens, it just so randomly happens. It's like you're not even in control. And for the second time, honestly, was way more surprising than the first time. First time I was like, man, I'm on a good bite.
Right.
I think I could maybe get there. But the third time, just last time at Fort, was practice, catch the fish how I wanted to catch them. There was a bunch of fish on bed, and that's kind of what I was just going to do, was bed fish. But I was getting one big bite a morning on like a glide bait on shallow points.
Right.
And that was all I got in practice. I got two of them in practice. I said, well, I'm just going to start at doing that and just go from there. And one bite truly led to catching 100 pounds. That sounds so crazy. But all I could do was get one bite in practice. And that's what – and once in the first day of the tournament, I threw a glide bait out there and caught a 7-pounder. And I was like, oh, my God, this is awesome. hey, we got some bonus fish. I said, well – let me pick up that jerk bait, just double check it. And I think I got there and caught another 7. I said, we're doing this the whole tournament. Like, we're set. In stone. Yeah, it was. And that's how crazy. It's just, you got to run with those little spots. I was going to bed fish the whole time, but you got to fish by the seat of your pants and really tell you what the fish are doing.
Okay.
And then we just followed that pattern. And every single day, we completely changed. Fish new water, just kind of followed the fish. It progressed into what it come into. I could have promised you after practice, if you said I was going to break 100 pounds, I would have been willing to bet $50,000 on it. I'm like, no shot.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it was not on them. It was, but that's Lake Fork. That's Texas. Yeah. You never know what can happen.
Hey, help me out here a second, because I had never thrown one. Taylor and I went up to Joe Cassie the other day and messed around a little bit, and everybody said, oh, God, if you're going to Joe Cassie, you need to throw glide baits. So I went out and found a couple of glide baits. And
I don't understand what kind of maniac decided to make
7.5-inch glide bait. It's as big around
Good
as your –
gosh.
How do you fish a glide bait?
Patience, which I don't have much of.
and I have less than you do.
it's such a different bite. I feel like it's you're more target oriented sometimes. There's like we can break glide baits down. Oh man, that's a big rabbit hole. But
okay.
It's something completely different. I mean, you get different shapes, different sizes for the profile bait you're matching. You can get cover glides that are for structure. You can get open water glides for, like, you know, really trying to pull them out of cover.
See, he's lost me.
It's, I know. It's pretty cool, though, because when they bite it, I promise you, it feels like he's trying to rip it out of your hands.
Lord.
Like, it's like he is mad at it. It feels like you just got hit by Ray Rice. I mean, it's
Jeez.
It's coming.
See, this is my problem. I have less patience than you do. So if I pick up something and throw it three or four times and don't get a bite, it's going in the box. I'm getting something else out.
Mm-hmm.
Until I find something that I catch one, you know. And then oh, gosh. All right. So we'll have to get Patrick back on and talk about glide baits. Sounds
yes,
like he knows what
do.
He's talking about.
So we got them and we got to use them at some
yeah,
point.
Yeah, that's right. So, all right, you got about a minute left, Toby.
I'm just going down that little.
You there? You back?
Yep, I got
you. Oh, okay.
Now.
Okay. All right. Well,
that East Texas service is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. All right. So now you got about 30 seconds. Taylor, last question.
Really quick. What should people be throwing on Santee right now?
Woo. The stick bait is still good, but the top water bite is really picking up. Whether it's a top water walking bait like a spook or a popar or a frog up shallow around brim beds and stuff. I think the top water bite's going to be the really hot bite that's about to really kick off real good. I know they've been catching them on it.
Top water, Daddy. We going.
We're going. We're going to Texas. We ain't got time to go to Santee right now. Look, man.
You always got time for a quick Santee trip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, quick Santee trip from Greer, South Carolina. All right. Man, as always, thanks for coming on. Be careful the rest of your drive in. We will see you out there media day on Thursday. And good luck at the Classic. Y'all hang on. We'll be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side of the break. All right, I have a co-host that's fixing to get slapped. Get your hands off the buttons. It's a good song.
I want to touch the buttons.
No, get off the buttons.
I want to touch the buttons.
You're interrupting the bumper music. Hush. Gosh. All right, welcome back into the second segment of Woods and Water, South Carolina. And it's, it's Classic Preview 2021. And I want to welcome in a regular to the show, and that's Brandon Cobb. Man, on the road to the Classic, appreciate you taking a few minutes. And, hey, it's Classic Week.
That's right.
It's Classic Week.
On the way. I feel like I've been traveling for 3 days, but I'm on the way.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing you're on the way, and you're closer than you were, right?
That's right. I'm in Louisiana, so hopefully our service will hold up. But I think I have pretty good service on 20 in Louisiana. So.
Should be. Taylor, get us started off.
Okay, so I'm going to...
What do we want to know?
I'm going to rack your brain a little bit on this. So it's your second Classic, is that right?
Yes, second Classic.
So, you know, you got past the first one, so I'm sure first-time nerves are a little... They're a little faded, but are you still nervous for this one, or are you more excited?
Really, to me, these tournaments are less stressful than, well, the media and stuff is, I want to say it's stressful. It makes it hard to think about fishing just because you have so much stuff to do.
Right.
But I don't really like, between the Cups and the Classics, I actually think they're less stressful than a regular season tournament because, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter if you do bad, but it's going to ruin your whole season if you do bad.
Yeah. It's kind of
like a regular season. You're trying to make the Classic versus the whole year. Like during the regular season, if you do bad in one tournament, then you probably aren't going to make the Classic again. And
right.
So this one, you kind of can just go try to win it. It's more of a fun tournament. Yes, the carrot at the end of the tournament is a real big incentive.
Yeah. But
if you finish last, you finish last. You just got to go try to fish to win, and it doesn't really matter.
I just thought of it. It's like the baseball All-Star game. Those guys are having fun. I mean, it doesn't apply to the regular season or anything. They get paid for being there, and they're just there to have fun for a lot of them.
Yeah, that's what this is. Different. It feels different. Like, that's why, like, everybody always says, like, the big stage and stuff is so much more stressful. I don't get that. I mean, I think it's less stressful because it doesn't have – how you doing this tournament is just based on this tournament.
That's right.
It doesn't have long-term effects.
Absolutely right. Cool. I know you've been on Roberts because I was out there with you in 2015. Have you been on it since? I mean, did you stop in any time you were down there, or you just haven't even been on the water since then?
No, I have not been since. I was actually talking to Shane LeHue on the phone a while ago driving here, and he was asking me about it. I'm like, Shane, I don't even remember, like, where I fish. I don't get from point A to B. I don't remember what. I don't know. It was like 7 years ago, which I guess I should remember, but I don't remember much at all of it. I just remember it had a bunch of bushes and a bunch of trees.
Yep.
And I know this time the water was really high when I was there in 15 or 16, whenever that was.
15,
the water
yep.
was really high. And I kind of thought that was abnormal, but now looking at the water this time, it's high again.
Oh, really?
So maybe it just happens to be high a lot this time of year. I think it's, as of last week, it was like 2.5 foot high, and as of this morning when I looked, it's like 3.5 foot high.
Whoa.
So it's kind of, maybe it's just a high water place this time of year. I'm not real sure. Last time we were there a lot earlier in the year, and most of the fish were caught shallow.
Yep.
And I kind of thought that was just that due to high water and early in the year. So it'll be interesting to see this time. It's the time of year where the fish should be going out deep, but the water's high, so that should keep some shallow. So it's going to be kind of interesting, really.
So with that being said, what stage are you kind of thinking the fish are going to be in?
Well, I think they'll be, at this point in the year, the shad spawn's pretty much done. It's got too late in the year. The bass spawn's completely done. I mean, there may be a random one on bed here and there, one garden fry. But it's pretty much everything's finished as far as, like, spawns go. The only thing that could still be happening to keep a lot of fish shallow feeding-wise is there might be mayflies hatching or there could be brim beds. But this time of year, you generally look at it's a post-spawn, like, 100%, like, summertime-type bite, which would be deep, like I said, normally. It's just, I don't know, with the high water, it could be different. You never know. Some lakes, I don't know this lake any better than y'all two do, really. Some lakes, the fish just go deep regardless. That's what they want to do. I mean, it doesn't matter what's going on. They go deep. And in some lakes, if you get conditions like this where there is a lot of cover and things up shallow, the fish will actually want to stay shallow. So you never really know what it's going to be like. Looking back at this tournament 6 months ago with normal water level, I would have said 100% offshore schools of fish.
Yeah.
The whole top 10 will be fishing deep. But with high water, I don't know. It could change it up. It could be 100% shallow. I don't know.
Is that, and I guess that's, you know, and you and I have talked about it a bunch, you know, practice really doesn't mean anything 6 months ago because it doesn't even come close to what's happening 2 days before y'all hit the water.
Right.
So are you going
I
mean, when you go ahead and start practicing, do you have somewhere you're going to start, kind of an idea you're going to start with? Or are you just going out there looking at the water going, I'm going to try this, try that?
Well, I'll kind of try this and try that. This one practice is a little bit different than you would for a regular season. Like a regular season, I'll look for fish, and then when I find something that I think I can do well at, I'll go look for backup plans, just in case something doesn't work.
Right.
Well, this tournament, I like Forest Wood Cups and Classic-type tournaments, like these championship tournaments, I don't really worry about finding 10 different patterns. It's more or less, I'm looking, once I think I figure out where the heaviest population of fish are, whether that's in the bushes flipping or out on roadbeds deep, whatever, once I figure out where I think you can win, I'll kind of put all my eggs in one basket for this type of tournament.
Gotcha.
And try to find as much, if I think it's the best pattern working, I'll try to find as many places as I can to do that rather than look for backup plans, because like I said, it's all or nothing tournament.
Yeah.
You win by doing something that's your strength. And I like offshore fishing, and I like up shallow flipping. So it's kind of one of those things, whatever I feel like my best strength and the most fish are, I'll just kind of look for that the rest of the time.
Cool.
So go
on. And I'm going to correct you. You do know a lot more about this lake than Taylor and I do, because you can eliminate water just by standing on the bank looking out over it. I look out over that water and go, where do I start?
the one thing as far as like getting an idea, though, here, like I'm talking about the bushes and stuff.
Right.
I've never, out of all the lakes I've been to around the country, I feel like, yes, when the water is high, a lot of fish do stay shallow. But to have that huge population shallow, there's got to be something going on to eat. Up shallow, which that usually entails to some type of forage, hatch, or spawn. So if there's not a lot of brim beds or not any mayflies or anything like that, then the fish probably still will go out. But it's the time of year where there's mayflies. I mean, back home, I know it's starting. Mayflies are starting to hatch, and there's still bluegill beds and things like that. So there should still be a lot of food up there to keep them shallow.
Okay.
So besides the fishing part, I'm sure, because I know that's on your top 10 list of favorites about the classic. But besides that, I mean, what would be your second most favorite part of the classic? I mean, whether it be the fans or people you get to see or what? Tell me what that is.
Having family there?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is one of the only I joke with my wife because it comes when I'm going to win. But right. She always comes to the classics or the Forest Wood Cup in the past. So I like when she gets to come to a tournament with me. And you got nice accommodations here, like with the expo being right there at the hotel, right at the weigh-in center and everything. So it's pretty cool to have her there and get to kind of do all that with me versus, you know, I'm usually eating at a gas station and traveling around by myself for like odd hours. So it's cool to have her come out here. My parents are going to come to this one too. So
oh, cool.
They came to the previous classic.
Right.
Was there, but they came to the Forest Wood Cups and stuff. So it's cool having them there for a couple tournaments a year.
Cool. Got about a minute or so. Taylor and I want to go to Greenwood. Not that we're going to get to go, but if we were going to Greenwood in the next month or so, what would we want to throw and where would we want to be?
I actually just went out there one time last week and we caught them pretty good. They're the fish in Greenwood this time of year, they're just starting to get out deep on brush piles and like deep drop offs and things. And it's just getting there. And for the next month, when they first get out, they're pretty dumb. And then once everybody starts fishing for them, they get a little hard to catch. But they're getting out there now, and they're pretty dumb.
And okay.
They're pretty much all offshore.
All right. Are you Texas rigging worms? Are you throwing jigs?
I throw really all of the above. I always have a big worm tied on, big crankbait, a jig, a big flutter spoon. All big baits, pretty much. Big offshore. Like, you look at what you would fish with in Tennessee River, like lakes, when you see all the tournaments there. Exact same stuff on Greenwood. Greenwood's probably the closest thing we have in state to a Tennessee River style lake.
Cool. Well, look, it's been great catching up to you. Look forward to seeing you out there. And y'all hang on. More Woods and Water South on the other side. I've got a bite.
Sounds like maybe you shouldn't be with any girl. You should be with a fish. I've thought about that. You know, as a final thought today, I was thinking, why can't these people just get along?
I hope you're happy, Brad.
And welcome back to the last segment for this week.
I have to say, I like this. I like this song.
This one?
Yeah, what is this one?
Oh, gosh.
I pulled trivia on you this time. Right?
Yeah, and I mean, for once, I'm like...
Oh, man. That's sad.
It is sad, because I should know this. Oh, I can't. I don't know. I just can't. For some reason or another, that one just escapes me. Anyway.
I'm disappointed.
I hope you enjoyed the little classic preview from Brandon and Patrick. And hopefully, speaking of hopefully, Hopefully I can draw my gator tag this year.
Hopefully.
And the Walters clan and the Metz clan can go out and tag a lizard.
And I can, like, finally say, I can be like, there's people on Swamp People. I grew up watching that show, and I always wanted to be out there with them. It looks so much fun, the little airboat thingies.
Yeah. That we're not going to be in an airboat, Taylor. I know. Okay. But you should have something over there on the license, don't you? Or do I have that?
Huh?
Oh, I've got that.
You got it.
That's why I brought that up, because
we're actually going to do more than just running our mouths in this one. We're going to give you some information.
We're going to run our mouths, too.
And we do not, don't worry, we didn't forget, but we do not have a calendar of events this week.
Other than tune in to the classic next week, yeah, I guess. But it would be brought to you by Visit Anderson. And
Green Paul Anderson.
Yeah, yeah. The alligator deadline. If you are wanting to get in for the annual alligator lottery hunt, the deadline to apply is 5 p.m. June the 15th. So you got a little bit of time yet, but don't want to let that go. It is a $10 non-refundable application fee to apply, and it's a random computerized drawing based on a preference point system. So I think I have three, which means I have four. So I had three last year, so I should have four now. And I should get drawn. I hope I get drawn. And but if you want, you're not going to apply and get drawn this year.
Yeah.
So you best go ahead and start applying, accumulate the points right now. I think it's about four to get drawn for sure. And we'll get down there with the Walters clan and go alligator hunting. Go lizard fishing.
I'm going to completely change it from teeth and scales to claws and fur and talk about dealing with black bears.
Yep. It is the time of the year they're moving around.
Mm-hmm. Spring, bears are going to come out from their dens, and they're going to be hungry. And they're going to be anywhere from coastal plains and the Piedmont areas. And so DNR decided that we're going to bring out some tips on how to deal with this. If you see a black bear, it doesn't automatically mean that there's a problem. They are just out and about, just looking around.
Allison Rauch.
Oh, yeah.
Who is our hiking contributor, texted me the other day and said she saw her first black bear on a hike last week.
Really?
In a tree.
In a tree.
Up in a tree.
I'd be kind of scared.
She said I spent the next 2 miles looking over my shoulder.
Oh, I'm sure. Kind of like when you see a snake fall out of a tree in front of you.
Go ahead.
We're not going to get that, though. Yeah. But like I said, most bears are just passing through. But if they find something they want to eat that's easy, they're going to take advantage of it.
A.K.A. bird feeders.
Bird feeders, which is the first tip on here.
Right.
So, these are some suggestions to better coexist with black bears around here. So, bird feeders and feeders in general. If a bear starts getting into your bird feeders, just take them down, put them away. The bears will move on. Once they move on, you feel free to put it back up. Garbage. Keep it shut or in bear-proof trash cans like you see in parks.
Yes.
Do not leave them out, or you will have a fun surprise when you walk out your door the next morning and it's been strung all over your driveway or all in the back of your yard. But when garbage is left open in a dumpster or in the back of a truck, it is basically an invitation to the bear saying, come on, free food, free junk.
Buffet.
What's that? Whatever's left over. Pet food storage. Store it properly if it's kept outside. Put it in an airtight storage container and don't leave the leftover food out in the open. Clean grills. Keep the charcoal and gas grills covered and clean to keep the odors from attracting bears. Beehives. If you're going to have beehives in bear territory, protect your investment with electric bear-proof fence. I didn't even think of that. People have beehives in their yards. That's kind of, don't feed them. Please don't feed them. I know they look cute and cuddly, especially cubs, but you feed them once, they'll be back. That's just an accident waiting to happen. Keep wildlife wild. And that, we talk about that with when you see fawns this time of year. Don't bring them inside. They are wild animals, and they have their place in the outdoors. Let them stay there. Don't approach a bear for any reason, especially for a picture.
Don't go get a selfie with a bear.
What was it, that woman in Yellowstone a while back with what was it with? Something, it went over and tried to trample her or something?
Probably a buffalo.
That's what it was. It was a buffalo. And I was like, oh, my word.
And the buffalo got his piece of skin.
Mm-hmm. They look cute, but they can defend themselves.
And will defend themselves.
They will. If you're camping in bear territory, which is going to probably be your most likely spot where you're going to see them, keep a clean camp at all times. Keep tents and sleeping bags free of food. Hang all food, trash, and other odorous items well away from the camp, at least 10 feet above ground and 4 feet from any vertical surface. Store in a bear-proof container. Treat livestock feed the same as human food. Just remember that they are wild animals and should be respected. They're usually shy and non-aggressive, but people that get a little too close, get too close to their cubs, that's taking your life in your own hands.
I told you I needed to get you the airtime for Bass Live. Actually, Fox. Oh, yes. Fox is going to cover the Classic on the 12th, which is Saturday, starting at 8 o'clock from Lake Ray Robertson, north of Denton, Texas. And then again on the 13th, which is Sunday at 8 o'clock, live again from Ray Roberts.
We may pop up there.
We may pop up there. You never know.
Those drones are everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Plus the regular TV cameras. Planning. A lot of people are planning right now. I mean, if you're putting in a dove field, you're about prime time to get the brown top in the ground. They give it 75 days to mature, which means it gets brown about the time August 20-something rolls around. And when is opening day of dove season this year? Ooh, I got to look that up. September?
Kind of important.
September the 4th.
Hey!
Yeah, it's the first Saturday in September this year.
One of my favorite times of year.
Yeah, so, you know, there's
busting through some boxes of shells.
Yeah, you know, you got a couple of weeks to get your dove field. Your sunflower, you're out of luck. But if you're just planting brown top 75 days, you're good. And then coming up for the fall, when you're planting your winter oats or whatever, check your local soil and water conservation district. We did this last year, and I didn't say anything about it because I want to test it out, but we actually rented a no-till drill from the Chester Soil and Water Conservation District. They have two of them. They have a 7-foot and a 10-foot. There's a little bit of setup. There's a little bit of maintenance you need to do on them, and all that is provided for you, everything they expect, and there's an operator's manual to use. You can't use it on recently cleared ground. It's not a food plot machine now. You're not going to go in your pine trees and do half-acre food plots with it. It is mostly for field crops where you'd normally plow up 2 or 3 acres and plant oats or wheat or 10 acres or whatever. This is to kind of offset a little bit of the old deep disking you used to do. You can use a grain drill. So I've got one reserved and going to put some brown top in the millet in the ground this weekend. So it's pretty cool. It's interesting to use one. You have to have a tractor with hydraulics. So, and it's $10 an acre, $50 minimum. So it's, if you plant 3 acres, you're going to pay $50. You plant 10 acres, you're going to pay $100. But I'm always amazed now, as opposed to when I used to plant a lot, how little seed I use using right equipment. I bought 150 pounds of soybeans. I used like 75 pounds. Mm-hmm. Bought 50 pounds of corn, used 30 pounds. I got 150 more pounds of seed to go in the ground. I don't know how much I'll be able to use. But anyway, that's good. So if you're getting ready to plant, that's an option for you. If you don't want a deep disc and all that, you can no-till. Just contact your local soil and water conservation district.
That's fine.
And there's a guy down in Great Court or whatever that does rent no-tills. Yeah, what's the matter with Sophie?
She's dreaming.
She's dreaming and jerking. And
so if you hear any little whimpers, that's her.
What you got?
We're gonna be talking about the beach. It's prime beach season right now, and if you're crazy, you wait till July. But now is for the people that don't like all the people and all the heat. This could be valuable to you if you are headed to Myrtle Beach. The city council has passed some new beach rules. Addressing tents for children, hole digging, and surf fishing. Oh boy, the surf fishing thing is going to get me. Anyway.
Hurry up.
Under the new rules, it is now illegal to dig a hole deeper than 2 feet on the beach. They can't, and even if they are 2 feet, they cannot be left unfilled and make sure all the shovels that were used are picked up and handled right.
You can only use plastic shovels, too,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, you can only, metal shovels aren't allowed. They also updated guidance for children's tents, increasing the allowed size for shading. Maximum size is now 4 feet wide, 3 feet deep, and 3 feet high.
Jeez.
They also said canopies and tents any larger are banned from Memorial Day through Labor Day. Umbrellas only is a new policy for the public beach.
Hurry up, get to the fishing one.
Surf fishing policies were also updated, giving swimmers priority and the right of way for those who want to fish from the beach.
That's going to be interesting, because that could be, that'll end up in court.
Oh, it will.
I'm going to bet that that's going to end up in court, because you can't restrict the rights of fishermen pursuing a sport. That's in the South Carolina Constitution now. It'll be interesting to see. All right. Just a word to all you striper fishermen down Lake Murray. As of June the 1st and through September 30th, it is unlawful to take, attempt to take, or possess more than five. In other words, it's the old five and out.
Mm-hmm.
Once you catch five stripers, doesn't matter how long they are, you are done. And they got a lot more stuff that we never get to.
Of course.
Back glass slam. Boat, carefully report sightings of manatees. Statewide deer harvest survey is out. Harvest was up, so we'll get to that later on. All right. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being here. Hope you have a great weekend, week, and we'll be with you from the classic in the week. So, as always, make time to get out there.
Hit the back roads if you can.
Oh, yeah, the lilies are blooming over Lansford Canal. Don't forget the camera. See you next week.